Thank you all parties for standing by. Today's conference is going to be open and interactive. At this time, if your line when your line is open, please utilize your mute feature or star 6 to avoid any background noise. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn the call over to Neil Kamal, and your line, you may begin, sir.
Thank you, Laurie. Good morning, everyone. I am Neil Kamal, and today we will be talking about TAM ESSO. Now, as we are just four people attending, and five including me, I thought it would be good to keep the lines open, and if you have a question in between or you'd like to say something, please feel free to do that. Should we do a quick round of introduction just so that know who is attending? Guys?
Yeah, hi, Neil. Guys? Yeah, hi Neil, this is Rohit Malhotra from India.
Hey Rohit, how are you?
I'm good, Neil.
Yeah, hello, this is
good morning,
Peter. This is Peter from TechLine. Hi Neil.
Hi.
Hi Neil, this is Ajay from India.
Hey Ajay, how are you?
Danger. Good morning, this is Ajay Kumar, also from India.
Ajay Kumar, all right, to Ajay. All right, guys. So let's get started and not, get right to the point. TAM ESSO, Tivoli Access Manager for Enterprise Single Sign-On. I assume you have the deck with you. If you go to slide B, I'll try to explain. There's the background slide. All right. So there is, on slide 3, let me explain what Single Sign-On is about. Because TAM ESSO is a product that deals with Single Sign-On, or it primarily solves the Single Sign-On problem. Users today have multiple passwords, and the applications for which they use the password are also a variety of types. There is Windows application, there's a web-based application, there's in-house developed 32 or 16-bit applications, there's Java-based app, there's Java plugin inside the web app, and, all kinds of applications. Now, the next thing is each application might have a unique username and password. Sometimes they are clubbed together, so you have one directory in which you have the username and password, and the same like in IBM, we have the intranet ID and password, which is used for multiple applications. Other times you have different password altogether, like you might have your GSA password, which is very unique from your intranet password, very different. So what net what becomes is these applications and therefore their passwords become challenging for end user because there are too many in number. It is difficult to remember which password works for which application. They have a security setting, which means the password has to be stronger, longer, and complicated. There are rules around how frequently you have the password expires and you have to change it. And guess what? You can't write it anywhere. You can't have put an algorithm and put a sticky note somewhere saying this is how all of this works. So you have to keep it in your mind. What that also means is you will forget it, and then there will be the entire messy operation of resetting it through self-service, resetting it through voice-operated command system, or through directly calling the help desk, which not only wastes your time over the phone and your productivity, but also Sometimes you don't get the password reset and working immediately. There is a delay in reset. There are other problems too. There are times when application says too many trials of wrong password and then your account is locked. And then you have to go through the process of unlocking the account. The unlocking sometimes cannot be done by yourself. There has to be a manager involved. There's all kinds of problem around username and password. And the reason these things are a problem is because, if you think about where it started with some guy thinking about having different passwords for different applications, which is security 101. So there are a variety of security rules. Some of them best practices, others might be internal compliance for the company, and others might be just external compliance depending upon the industry that you are. All of those reasons apply and makes password and generally the life of an employee in a corporate difficult and challenging. TAM ESS or single sign-on is a solution to exactly that problem. So if you move on to slide 4, what does this challenge inherit? What does it do if you solve this challenge? It improves the user productivity by giving you a better user experience, doing things faster for you, as well as not letting you waste time when you forget password. It strengthens security because now you can have unique password for each one of your applications. You don't have to remember anything, and I'll explain how this works. And reduces cost because you don't have to pay your help desk to reset your password and all that. And it helps you being compliant because now users won't write their password and stick it on the back of the keyboard or on the, like in the diagram you can see, it's called PC Sunflower with the sticky notes all around the monitor. So that's the advantage of solving this problem. And if you go to slide 5, it explains what is the unique way of solving the problem that we saw. Before we go to that, let me just put it to you very simply, how does this work? We have an agent which sits on a desktop or a laptop, and we have a wallet, which is a collection of all the username passwords that you might have. The agent, together with the wallet, does all the magic that is required to be done. And what is the magic here? Any application opens up, web, Windows, Java, mainframe, terminal app, your custom app, whatever comes up, if it challenges you with a username password, the agent will check the username password with the wallet, get it out of the wallet, and inject it into the application, click on the OK button, and get right in. And that's the core idea of single sign-on. There is an agent, there is a wallet, wallet has all the information, and as long as your agent is active, by you proving to the agent that who you are, which is your first logon or single sign-on, there is no sign-on beyond it. Agent will take care of everything else. Now, solution has a lot more bells and whistles, so I'll explain all that. But at the core of it, that's what single sign-on is. And therefore, it is not called a double sign-on, not a triple sign-on, but a single sign-on. Okay? So if you look at this slide, slide 5, it says one password to sign on. I mean, these are the advantages of our solution. It is one password for all the application. It does not require modification of application. So if you guys have already heard or learned what Tivoli Identity Manager is, or in general, other products in the security arena, a lot of times to make a solution work, you have to provide adapter or plug-in, or you have to modify something, a setting on the server side of an application, which makes things challenging because if you're modifying things that involves, you know, that requires all kinds of QAing of the new application and makes things more complicated to sell because it needs to involve a broader team to make a decision. In TAM ESS, the way it is all organized and available to your customer, it does not require any modification of any sort for the application. It does not require modification of Active Directory, another very big win. Because if it requires a modification of Active Directory like our competition, typically Oracle with PathLogic solution and many others, it would mean that you need to involve your AD team, which is typically very, very busy and do not like to be involved or do not have time for it, and therefore it pushes your sales cycle and becomes longer. Then automatic renew expired password, as the sentence explains, if the password is expired, automatically renews it. It's self-service. If you forget the one password that you are given, if you forget that, there is self-service for it, which means even for that, you don't have to call the help desk. The deployment is fast, and it simplifies the access to the user while improving the security. So now let's get into slide 6, where I explain the solution a little bit. You see how these things are numbered, 1, 2, and 3, and 4? Number 1 is basically a list of all form factors that you can use for your one sign-on. Remember, this is all about one or single sign-on. So now you can do single sign-on using a password, username, and a password. So then if somebody would say that's like a master key, because now you are putting all your username password into a wallet and you're protecting it with another username password. And that would be right, because that's how it is. However, you have the option of not limiting yourself to just username password. Generally speaking, people in this area talk about username passwords, they are weak security. So these terms, second factor authentication or 2FA, are typically treated as top up your security. Just like how you have in mobile phone, you can do top up or you can recharge your balance. The same way, it is top up security. So the base level of security is username password for you, and that is, we're talking about one identity here or one username password. What is the second level? You can choose it to be a RFID or a proximity badge, and then if you have a reader connected, you tap your badge, you type your PIN or passcode, and then you are in. So that's second level, because it is something you have, which is your badge, plus something you remember, which is your passcode. So then it becomes two-factor. Now, there are stronger two-factors, like biometric, which is even fancier. Now, you scan your finger, and you type your password, and you are in. Then there are smart cards. There are one-type token. There is iTag. There is active proximity card. I mean, the whole variety of things there are a variety of two-factor authentication mechanism that can be provided. So that's number one. Number two is nothing but your agent. And agent is the guy who is taking all the action, so which recognizes that the application is up and it is challenging you for the username password. And then it reads from the wallet, which is number three here. And number three is very important. That's where, if you get a question around security of this product, that they will typically be talking about number three. They will want to know if you are storing the password, where are you storing it, how you are storing it, are you encrypting it, what are the likelihood of breaking that encryption? Is there, if you're transferring it, or are you? Is it done over SSL? So there is, in fact, a paper available around security of number three, which is the wallet. And finally, number four is the server. Now, server is important for two reasons. One, it serves as a backup of all the wallets, which means if your laptop is on fire or your hard disk crashes or whatever, you get a new laptop, all you have to do is just log in once and the wallet is automatically downloaded. It happens within the second. So it's that fast. Which means you don't have to worry about losing all your secret identities, which is being preserved and backed up and saved and all that. So that's one purpose of this number four, which is the server. But the other purpose is administration. The entire installation, configuring the workflow, choosing some of the option, the UI control, how does it look, how does it feel, all that can be done on the server side. So this is one-stop shop for all your configuration, the client configuration, the behavior of application, all kinds of configuration can be done from the server side. All right. And there is this term visibility, control, and automation that we use typically for products like this, because it does give you visibility. It gives you control, and it allows you to make things automatic. And I'll explain more of that as we go on. All right, slide number seven. And typically I have a video that I play here, but I'm going to just read the story or sort of narrate the story to you. There is a hospital here in Fresno, California, called CMC, Community Medical Center. The system they have is, when they hire a new employee, let's say they hire a new doctor, the doctor walks in from the gate, he handshakes with his manager or the shift in charge, and the manager gives him this one username, one password, and one badge. And that's all he gives him, and that's all that he would ever need. This guy uses the badge to open the elevator. He uses the badge to get into the areas that he has to get into, so navigating around everything. He uses the same badge for parking lot. And then he arrives in his cubicle, and then he taps his badge, types his one username, types his one password, and he is inside in his computer. So what that means, it is integration of physical identity, which is your form factor, your card, and your fingerprint or whatsoever, with the logical identity, which is your username password. So So the concept of physical identity is something that you have, something you can wear, something you can keep and walk away with. And the logical identity is basically things that you remember in your mind. So it is an integration of a physical identity with a logical identity. And so once this guy taps his vest, types his username, types his password, he gets onto his machine, then he launches an application. He gets right in. He launches another application. He gets right in. He launches email. He gets right in. He launches Cerner, Meditech, Epic, you name it. The applications that doctors and nurses use, it almost looks magical. This guy is so happy. He doesn't have to wait for his account to be this and that. He doesn't have to reset. I mean, typically the experience is the first time you are given a username password, you are asked to reset it. Here, you're not given anything. All those passwords can be different, challenging, 25-character, 50-character. You don't know. As a new employee, all of that password is already inside your wallet. It is stronger security. It is more convenient. It is faster to use. It's only good from all perspective. And that's how CMC is. And CMC is one of our early customers, but they utilize TAMI SSO to get to that state of improved security and improved convenience. It is also, this story is also available in form of a video, so if you go to the notes section on that slide, you will see you'll see a link, and that would give you this video that is available. It's a very powerful tool. If you are going to show or talk to a customer about it, utilize this video. It will help you get the story straight. It will help you get the customer buy-in sort of into it. So now I'm going to go into what I call a demo, but obviously we don't have an interactive system here, so I'm going to talk about this demo. Slide number 9. The first sort of the benchmark feature of this product is what we call it, single sign-on, which means you're a guy, you're going to log on to the agent, which means you tap press control alt delete, type your username, type your password. If it is a second factor authentication, swipe your finger, whatever you do. Log in once, and from there on, you will be logged in automatically to all the applications that you launch. And that is called single sign. The next feature, or next pillar of this product is strong authentication, which is you have a variety of these devices, and together with the password, they form the layer of second factor. The interesting thing is in a deployment, you can choose mix and match. For a group of senior executives whose data is more sensitive, you can protect it using biometric. For others who might already have proximity card or RFID, you might utilize that proximity card. And for people that whose data you do not as much care about, or you are still thinking about investing in that area, you might live with password. So you can pick a form factor, choose your deployment time, and depending upon the budget and all that. And the strong authentication allows you that flexibility with TAMI SSO. Number 3, called session management. Now, session management is a very common thing in specific industry. Healthcare is one, and then finance is another. Not every industry. Those people who have one computer per person, they do not have variety of sessions. But if you look at, depending upon the industry, like, for example, you go in a bank, there is kiosk station where, you know, these 4 employees, whosoever is managing the front desk, will come in and log in, and they will work in their own area. In U.S., if you go to stores, you have the same way. I mean, there are these kiosk machines, and there are 5-6 sales agent, any one of them can log in into that terminal and work on it. So depending upon which one of these situation it is, the machine is configured in a particular way so as to make the information available to you faster. Like one of the session management ability that we have is called private desktop. What happens is it serves as a multiple session holder on a Windows XP machine, for example. What that means is if you have 10 employees and you have one computer, any one of them can come tap you their badge and then go right in into the session. Typically, if you don't have session management, you'll have to log off from Windows and log on as another guy. The entire process would take a minute or so. with TAM ESSO, that thing gets reduced to 1 second. So within talking, in fact, sometimes we do the demo of this, you can take 4 badges and you can boom, 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 and you'll see changing user from John Smith to Jane Smith to Dr. Bob to Nurse Alice. You can just go on and on and on. So it is a very powerful demo, but the point being, if you have sessions, you have situations where you have many users on one computer and you have you require fast switching of the user, all of that can be handled using TAM ESSO.
I have a question here.
Sure.
Hello, this is Ajay. I have a question here. When we do this private desktop, do we require to enable fast switching in Windows XP, or it is not required?
It is not required. If you are on SP, you are on Service Pack 3 on Windows XP, private desktop will work.
So it's just logging onto the wallet, is it? Or
no, it is creating an entire desktop for you.
Okay, so how does it work? Like the user gets a prompt initially, and he logs in. He gets the wallet prompt when he boots up the system. He logs in with his credentials. Somebody else comes in, and the system is locked now. It's in Windows Screen Saver lock.
Right.
Somebody else comes in, and he presses...
So the second person comes in, he taps his badge, he types his username and password. A new session is created and presented to him. Now, one might say that Windows XP does not support multiple sessions, but the way the solution is organized, you will be able to see the multiple session experience in Windows XP as well. And what it does is it concurrently holds multiple sessions. So if you are consuming, say, 200 MB RAM because you have opened whatever applications you have in particular session and you are running 10 sessions, you would require 2 GB or 2 GB of memory or RAM on your machine. So typically, a requirement like this happens only on kiosk machine, and those machines are stronger on CPU and memory.
Okay, fine.
Sure. So moving on to item number 12, workflow automation. Now, this is, I can say, a big differentiator that we have that others do not have. What it does is, what workflow automation is, you know, when we started, the product was basically, or the entire market was about username, password, and click OK. So there will be the screen, you type username, you type password, and click OK. That is all the agent was required to do. Then the next level of requirement came where, you know, you have to type your username and then click OK, go to the next screen that comes up and type your password and click OK. So, again, the agent was trained to handle two sequential screens. Then came the requirement where there was username, there was password, there was AD, and then you have to provide a secret code and whatnot. So things started becoming more complicated from a requirement perspective. So what IBM did, or what TAM ESSO team did, was it created a concept of a state engine. Now, what it does, it makes the system very, very flexible. So basically, you can take an application and think from a perspective of, okay, this application has 10 states. First thing you do is log in, and then you do this, and then you do this, and then you go into this area, and then you click here, and you go there. The entire sequence of activity in those 10 steps or 10 processes can be automated, which means now agent will take those steps sequentially, and you don't have to do anything. You'll just sit there, watch, excuse me, and then it will happen. So the workflow automation can now be utilized for multiple purposes. If you have an application which you don't just have to log in, but you always have to go to a particular screen for all your users, for a group of users, then you can utilize workflow automation to shortcut that and get right there. If there is a particular screen that you do not want the user to click on, as soon as he clicks there, you can disable that, or you can close that window. What else? You can utilize workflow automation. You know, there are, in banks especially, there are requirements where it says, if you are going to allow any transaction above 50,000 rupees in India, or, you know, any that type of requirement. In healthcare, there is a requirement that if you are signing out the patient, then you have to get approval from an administrator, or you have to re-log in. If you want to create an internal, you know, requirement like that, very simply what will happen in that workflow, whenever that situation will come in, we will force you to re-sign in. So we will force a sign out if you don't sign in correctly, thereby giving you a uplifted security. Now, this is additional security more than what application might be offering.
This is Ajay here. So I just wanted to understand one small point since you mentioned this. I know it's a little bit out of context maybe, but in the bank, one of the requirements which came up was that there is this teller who enters a transaction, as you mentioned, is over a particular value. You know, is there a possibility of having a different user coming in authenticity? For example, he enters a value and he requests his manager to come to the machine, and the next authentication should be the manager's. So does it mean that he has to log off and come back? Or, you know, is there a separate username and password can be entered at that point in time?
So typically in that situation, if the application is doing it, I mean, there are two situations. One is application is already designed to do that. If the application is designed to do that, TAMI SSO does not have to do anything. There will automatically be a pop-up. And if you want, TAMI SSO can display a message. Or if that pop-up has three fields, it says the employee name, the manager name, and the password. Then if you want TAMI SSO to inject the name and only wait at the password, those things can be automized. So if the application is already supporting that kind of workflow, whatever you want the agent to do, agent will do it. Now, the second scenario is where the application do not support this, and this is something that the bank is thinking about. They are thinking about, creating another layer of security for these kind of situation where the teller has a big amount to, a bigger dollar amount for transaction. So in that situation, what TAMI SSO would do is it would create a new dialog box in that situation and then require you to provide some kind of information, which can then be verified. If you're saying it has to be a manager's username, password, you have to provide TAMI SSO mechanism, a way to confirm that it is actually manager's username password, which means either it is integrated to AD or your system is available such that you can send a query and the query would return a yes or no if you send the username password with that query. So whatever system you have going there, TAMI SSO will become that user interface to implement it.
Just one small clarification
One after the other.
Okay, Neil, I'll wait.
All right. Ajay, you were saying?
Yeah. The question I had was, the second prompt which comes up, can it, it has to be an application username and password which can be entered, or can it be a TAMI SSO username and password? Where I'm coming from is, does the manager of the teller need to remember his application username and password, or can he just simply be present at the screen where he enters the TAMI SSO username and password and he gets logged out to the application at the higher level?
So if it is TAMI SSO, see, the TAMI SSO username password is your AD username password, so it's not different, or it can be configured to be AD username password. So if you're talking about the tailor himself re-verifying, then yeah, absolutely, it can be his TAMI SSO password or his AD password. But the configuration does not know about his manager, right? There is nothing in there which knows about who his manager is or what his manager's password is. So that cannot be verified, obviously.
Okay, fine, I understand. So we depend on the application username and password there as an easier way of logging in.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, if you want it, it can be a biometric at that point that, okay, if you are in that application and crossing $50,000 mark, you'll have to do your swipe your finger and then only you can go forward. But there are a variety of things.
Okay.
Basically,
okay.
Treat it. I think let's not get lost into how exactly it will be. Think at a high level. You have workflow automation which will allow you
to
do whatever.
Where I was coming from was we had a customer meeting last week where the specific question came up of Teller and increase in the limit. So I was just trying to see whether I can position it better.
Sure. Okay. So I'm good that you got the high point. And Vaidhi, now back to you, your question.
Yeah, Neil. Because on the PPT, I'm still seeing the word accentuate. So.
I apologize for that. It is
are you still using the word for the engine, or now we call it a TAM ESSO?
We call it TAM ESSO, and I should have updated it. You know, I came from accentuate, and a lot of my deck is what I've been using for many years. So I picked this, and it should be TAM ESSO. But thank you for pointing it out. Any more questions?
Owen, do you have any questions? Please ask Neil.
Yeah, so not at this point in time, really.
Okay.
Neil, sorry, this is Peter here.
Hey, Peter.
Yeah, just back to the example just now. In the bank, I'm wondering if the workflow can be set up for different users. So example is above a certain limit, and the workflow is configured to send an email notification maybe to the manager, so that the manager can log in for the transaction to proceed. Is that possible?
No, that workflow is not possible with TAM ESSO, because when the response is passive in nature, it becomes more challenging. Response is active in nature, which means the manager will come there and do something with the UI. Then So think of TAM ESSO as a product which does not require any back integration. It does not require any change or coding or anything. So at the TAM ESSO level, you can only deal with active stuff. You can't do passive stuff. If you want to do passive stuff, you'll have to modify code. You'll have to provide plugins and all that. Then you move on to Tivoli Identity Manager. And if you guys haven't already gone through that session, then wait for it. It will show you that power.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Any more questions?
Neil, this is Pavan here. Just wanted to quickly check, what is the size of this agent that goes and sits on the desktop? I mean, is it heavy loaded or?
Yeah, so currently, it depends upon what you have going in your desktop. But the document, TAM ESSO document highlights that maximum it will take up to 74 MB of memory.
Right. Thanks.
Sure.
And one other doubt I had was when you do a logon, how much time does it take for you to download a wallet? Because currently in the IBM deployment that we are using, once you're re-logging in, it takes a lot of time to authenticate. So I just wanted to check that.
Sure. So typically, IBM deployment is a very special case. So let's not talk about IBM deployment. But generally, at a customer space, they choose a policy which is called a local cache of the wallet is created on the workstation. So it does not have to go to the AD or to a server and then verify username password. It basically is a local thing. And it will take like half a second or one-tenth of a second or something like that. So there won't be any delay.
Neil, Pavan Chopra, one second. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so Neil, basically why we're asking the question, when we are sitting in the customer and showing the product in our laptop, when we enter it, it takes a lot of time. So we need to give an explanation to customers sometimes, you know. That's why
if you are seeing that problem, there is something wrong in the configuration. There are two potential configurations for security reason. In one configuration, you do not create any cache. And if you don't create cache, obviously you'll be connecting with the server. But out of all the deployment that we have, 300-plus customers, 99% of them chooses a cache wallet. Now, why IBM did not choose that, let's not get into that. So for your demo situations, you can keep a virtual machine or a VMware Both the demos are available. If you are VMware, I would request you to do a demo in the VMware or have your technical team do it. You can create a video of it and then show that. So there are a variety of ways to get around that.
Okay.
Neil.
And just we are on this topic. I'm sorry I'm asking a lot of questions, but if there are 10 machines which are shared amongst 10 users, can the local cache be created on all these machines for all these users once he logs in? Like,
yes.
For example, there are 10 machines,
yes.
And
yes.
Some machines are
yes.
Using it.
The answer is
okay,
yes.
Fine. Okay.
All right. Neil, I don't know if this is the right time to ask this question, but just to clarify, once you do a domain login for the first time, the agent, is there any template which is required to be filled in for this agent to understand the password policy of each of the application which needs to be single signed on?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, and I would have gotten into it, but because you asked it, let's talk about it right now. The TAM ESSO works with application based on something called an application profile, which is what you were referring as a template. Now, this profile or a plugin or template, whatever it is very different from typical templates that you would have heard of. Typical templates are basically code. They are code created for one system to interact with another system. But that's not how our template is. Our template is basically a collection of information about the application and about where in the application you want to do what. And we have something called Access Studio, a very nice tool. I mean, if you try it yourself, you will be able to do 80% of the profile creation for 80% of the applications that the customer has. I mean, it takes 10 seconds to create one profile. So what I'm saying is we have a very good tool, and it helps you create profile. If a customer goes live, I mean, typically a POC would involve 3 to 4 application proofing. And so you will be writing 3-4 profile, and that's a POC or a POT. For a pilot, or the first phase of deployment, I've seen between 10 to 20 application is what customer would choose to go live with. Now, remember, these are corporate applications, so your Gmails and Yahoos and all those are not profiled for. And you can do it, and it will be very simple to do it, but that's not what the corporate wants to carry in their server. So 10 to 20 application is what you go live with, and those 10 to 20 profiles you will be creating, or you will be utilizing services to do that. In the lifetime of a customer, if I look at a customer which has been around for 3-4 years, it grows from 20 all the way to 100, 150, depending upon the type of customer you have, obviously. So that's the kind of, market for profile there is and the time that it takes to create it. However, you only need to create a profile one time for an application. It is not per user or per group or per this or per that. It's just one time for an application. So once an administrator does it, it's done for everybody.
Fine.
Okay. More questions? All right. Very good. Good questions. Now let's move on. So slide number 12 is a big differentiator, and workflow automation has helped us a lot of times in showing the superiority of our product. However, notice that and remember that the primary requirement of why this solution sells in the market is single sign-on and nothing else. Everything else is a fancy feature. And fancy features are good to show, to do song and dance, but the real thing that customer needs is single sign-on. So as a seller, please remember that. Now I'm going to go to the slide 13, which talks about audit logs and tracking. This is another feature of this product. What it does is, while the agent is taking actions on your behalf, as well as watching you do things, like you're clicking here and clicking there and doing other things, agent is watching you. What it can additionally do is create an event, so your administrator can define an event and then store it and give it a number. which means all your activities can be tracked. So this can pretty much be used as access management event generator as well as manager. So anything related to access to a variety of applications, all the way to in user interaction with those applications, can be stored and recorded. And this feature has been used for a variety of reasons. Obviously, one is compliance. There is internal compliance. There are times when people just want to see what is the frequency of use an application. There are times when people want to see who is the user who is forgetting most number of passwords. There are times when people want to see this, that, all kinds of things. And, you know, administrator can create logs when they want to see a particular activity. For example, on a web page, if you want to notice how many people are clicking on the weather channel, you know, things like that. I'm just taking arbitrary examples here. But if you have something that you wanted to monitor for, you know, audit logs and tracking can be utilized for that purpose. So 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, these are the five sort of strongholds of this product. Now, beyond this, it does a lot of other things. It does password self-service. There is Gina that goes on top of Windows Gina. It allows you to gracefully recover your password. There is password expiration that it handles. And there are a variety of things. So we'll talk about a few of those scenarios. And then we will talk about the architecture a little bit. But before I go there, I want to see if anybody has any question about the high-level product functionality and all that. All right. Let's go on to slide 15. Now, slide 15, and again, it uses the word accentuate in some of the GUI here, so I apologize for that. It's a very simple diagram. What it shows is that there is agent on each one of your endpoints. Your desktop, your shared desktops, your laptops, your terminal, your Citrix servers, your remote users, and they, all the agents is doing is it's communicating in a polling interval method to the server. So which means server is a central repository of all the data, data in form of wallet, data in terms of logs, in terms of other activities. You make one change to the server, the change is going to propagate to all the agents within that 30 minutes of polling interval. And this 30 minute is configurable. So within a polling interval time, all the changes will be propagated to all the agents. What that means is the administration, the upkeeping and maintenance of this is very, very simple. You do not have to worry about redeploying. Suppose you created a new profile and you wanted it to deploy it to all your 10,000 employees. You don't have to go around distributing that. All you have to do is that put that profile into the server and it automatically goes to everybody else. So that's the beauty of the architecture. Now, you see how this is connected to directory server? What that means is you do not have to create a new ID or password for TAMI SSO. You can choose it to be the same as directory server password. So typically that's what everybody uses. They use their Windows AD password to log on to your Windows XP, and it can be a LDAP directory or whatsoever you are using. So that directory will be in sync with TAMI SSO server, and you know it's like killing two birds with one stone kind of situation where you have the same username password which everybody remembers and they do not need to create a new one for the purpose of TAMI SSO. All right. Now let's look at some of the return of investment analysis. Slide number 17. And this is where, I mean, there are technical aspects of this solution, but I'm sure your technical seller would know and you can go with him and beat the competition and deal with customers' pain points on those areas. But how do you propose selling this, right? And this, you have to find your own area because in U.S., the cost of the password reset through the help desk is very, very high. So look into this deck and find out what appeals most for your customer in India. But ROI analysis, the first one is there is $1 to be saved in password reset costs. Now, Gartner says that for North America, here in U.S., the cost of resetting one password And this cost is the cost that you're paying for the system, the employee, the time, and all that, the telephone conversation, all of that. The cost of resetting one password when you forget a password is $25. Or it says that it is between $20 to $25. Now, if it is $25 and you are forgetting your password as an employee maybe four times in a year, right? Four times in a year, not the same password, but any one of your password, four times in a year. That by itself is between $80 to $100. That's a lot of money that a company might be wasting. So the return of the ROI analysis addresses that problem right away because the end user is not going to remember any one of his username and password, and therefore he would not forget any one of his username and password. And next point is two-factor authentication. Typically, doing second-factor authentication requires a lot of time and money because for two-factor authentication to work, you will have to integrate the two-factor with your application. So if you want to do your, your Lotus Notes should be more than just password. It should be biometric and password. You'll have to modify Lotus Notes to do that. And every time you're doing it, you'll have to modify and make the application server work with the vendor of your two-factor authentication to do that. But Tamius is so you are able to protect all of that in one shot. So it's the second factor. Sometimes it is just a compliance thing. Compliance forces you to have second-factor authentication, and the cost that goes into it is humongous. But Tamius is so you can reduce that cost. Then time waiting for password to be reset. That's another thing. Because, you know, for those companies which do not have too much time, too much money wasted on password reset, they at least would respect the time that is wasted on resetting the password. If you ask, go to a company, talk to your customer and ask them, tell me what is your end-to-end experience on password reset? What is the number you call? Or how much time does it take for that? You are in the queue probably. How much time does it take before you get to the call on an average? Once the password, how much time does it, you have to talk and explain after the password is reset, what is the process? How do you get the password? How much time do you have to wait for all that? Think of it as productivity lost. If it is 1 hour per employee, what is the cost of 1 hour of the productivity for that employee? So that might be another way to look at it. Then time for kiosk user switch. This is that scenario of private workstation that we were talking about where multiple session is hosted at the same time. And if you think about it, if it is not hosted that way, a guy walks into a kiosk machine, he need to log in, a previous guy need to log out, all that would amount to, you know, several seconds or up to a minute or two of wait time for before that guy is productive or is ready to act. So that's another area. Then there is convenience angle to it. You know, you don't have to remember the password, so your mind is more freed up. You don't have to type your password. A lot of people hate to type password, especially when it is 12 character long with one, it has to be a combination of alphabet and numbers and it changes every month. Wow, that just makes life complicated. So there is convenience angle to it, which finally amounts to a dollar figure. Then there is compliance. You are automatically compliant with TAMI SSO, SOC, HIPAA, a lot of them requires two-factor authentication and compliance is there. And then audit logs. A lot of companies spend at the end of the year a certain amount of money just to collect variety of events. I'll give you an example. You know, one of these auditors would come in and they would run scripts to find out how many accounts do you have for your email and if there is a dangling account, and what has been the activity like, how many people have forgotten password in the last 1 year, what is your past process for this and that. TAMI SSO automatically produces that audit log. So you save the time. You would not be audited by TAMI SSO. You still will be hiring your auditor. But rather than taking 40 hours in collecting all that data, the data will be readily available within 10 minutes by using TAMI SSO server. So that's on the ROI analysis. And there can be more things that you can think creatively about where this solution would impact. Okay? Let's move on. Some of the win or loss stories. I mean, if you go to if you go to extreme leverage, and there is a link here, you can go look at our referenceable customer. It's a huge list. We have customers in a variety of areas. Our largest customer is Japan Post, sitting at 460,000 users, which is a lot of users. We are probably one of the top-notch number maker in the world out there from how many people are utilizing our solution in the world. We have several other big deployments. I mean, there is Intel, there is GM, there is AT&T, which is running at 300,000 or so. So there are a lot of customer wins. There is also loss stories. So my next summary on this is there is competition out there, and you will see that in one of my decks, in one of my slides below, where I talk about how Gartner has rated us number one for the last 3-4 years. But there is good competition out there. It's not like we are the only ones who have this product. And competition also has good solution, in the sense that the primary objective for which this product is sold or bought for is single sign-on. And other products in the market do single sign-on too. We have some extras, and that are not always the decision maker, or that's not what might be giving you your win. So we do lose some of the deals too. Now, here is how you can win, and you can improve your chances of winning. Don't just get into the idea of single sign-on only. Try to make the discussion broader. The examples that I told you about, the stories that I told you about, and the features that I tried to explain, all of that is something that the customer should already be thinking about, and that will serve as a differentiator. That's the first level of differentiation. Then go beyond just TAM ESSO itself. Think about the entire identity management space. A lot of our competition do not have anything to offer on the other complementary sides. So I'll talk about the entire space of identity, and you might know about the Identity Access Assurance Bundle, which is also called TIAA Bundle, which deals with all aspects of identity management, not just single sign-on, but others too. So broaden the horizon, make things look good from a perspective of we are here with a roadmap of fixing all your identity problem, and then give customer choices of going just with this particular problem solution, choices of doing two things at a time, or choices of having a long vision and good price point around that vision. From a pricing perspective, the sales enablement team can always help you understand what can be the right price point. There is competitive action team here in the U.S. that also generally has to understand the street prices. However, the local price in the geography is best understood from the experience of the seller working. So involve us as you get into the competitive deal. All right. Slide 21 talks about who to call or who typically our customers are. And this is sort of a worldwide view. And this might not all of this would apply to your geography. Healthcare, I know, is not very strong. They do not buy software to the extent other verticals might be buying. However, this is how the view of the world is for us. In the interest of time, let me move forward quickly. Slide 23 and 24 basically talks about two things. Number one, we are the best product in the market. There is no question about it. There hasn't been a company which has been rated so highly, or there hasn't been a product in single sign-on space which has been rated so highly and continuously over a period of time by all these analysts and magazines and whatnot. And two, security is happening for the world as well as for IBM. This year, we are the number one security company awarded by SC Magazine. So security is happening right now. People are getting more aware about it. In general, the money spent in this space and the awareness that space is getting is just growing. And we are the best product in the market. two of those coupled together should give you your win to some extent. Slide 25 gives you the landscape of some of the competition. Not all of them would apply to your geography. I don't think Improvata probably sells in India. But PathLogix, which is recently acquired by Oracle, definitely is going to be a competition. Novell, Ividian is mostly in Europe, so you might see PathLogix and Novell, I would think, in your geography. Centillion is a very focused healthcare provider, and now it is acquired by Microsoft, so that probably wouldn't apply to India too. All right. Slide 27 talks about...
Neil,
yeah.
I have one question here.
Yeah.
Okay, this is pertaining to more to the last slide. One of the major reason for the customers to buy enterprise single sign-on is password reset. And you have also mentioned in one of the slides wherein Gartner mentions $25 for password reset is the typical cost per reset call. Is it possible to sell this password reset feature separately instead of entire enterprise single sign-on? You see, not many customers are probably interested in kiosk feature unless it is not an IT BP organization. So, for example, in Oracle, we had this password reset feature which can be sold separately. Is that possibility here?
Yeah. SSO can be sold in two forms, a standard license and an enterprise license. The U.S. price perspective, standard license is $70, and enterprise at this listed price is $100. The standard license pretty much does the password reset and single sign-on together, those two things. And enterprise license does everything that we talked about.
Okay.
All right. Any more questions?
Oh, thank you.
Sure. So slide 27. There are two kinds of try and buy available, and try and buy is something that you will see the link below. But try and buy is a very powerful tool now. There are two kinds of try and buy. One is a 30-minute try and buy, which is available now. It came in Q3, which is you send a link to your customer. He will download the agent only, and the download takes like 5-6 minutes, depending on internet speed. And then without any help, he will be able to, you know, get the single sign-on experience. It's a 30-minute self-expiring code, so it will only work. 30 days self-expiring code, so it will only work for 30 days. It is a great way to, you know, you meet some prospect. They are not really talking about single sign-on, but you know they have heard about it. They wanted to explore more. Rather than sending a boring long PDF document which nobody reads anyway, you can send a link to this, and they will experience single sign-on rather than read about single sign-on. It will not work with all their application. It will work only with some of their application, but that's all right. They will experience it. They will experience the power of it, obviously not have a full deployment going without you doing anything. So that could be a very, very good tool for a salesman. Now, the second is more for the technical sellers out there. If you are going to be engaged in a deal and you need to do POCs and POTs, this two-day try and buy is basically a virtual machine that you can just go in, install, and run. And this is a server pre-configured, comes with a set of instruction. If you can follow step one step after the another, you will be able to do your entire POT in a defined format in 2 days. So both of these are available, and it is downloadable from the site that is in the link section or in the additional information section. All right. I think it's the end of the hour, but, you know, I have time for questions. So if you have questions, shoot.
So, Neil, purely from the understanding perspective, can I safely say TAM ESSO is more of a password reset question? The solution backed by single sign-on for client-server architecture, not the real SSO wherein we talk about authorization, authentication as well.
Not really. And a password reset is a problem of yesterday. Because problem of yesterday because it was a tool which was sold before where you can do a self-service for your password. You do not have just one password that you can fix that solvable problem by buying a password reset solution. You, if you were in 2000, if you were in 1995, and you had an application, you will have to, you know, you'll have to implement a password reset self-service feature for each one of your applications. What happened after that is applications themselves started providing a self-service, but then you had 15 different types of self-service for each one of the applications. So that's why I call it, it is a thing of yesterday, because self-service is just making things a little bit faster. The real solution is when you don't even have to remember the password. So why talk about forgetting the password and therefore not talk about the servicing of the password? You forget the term password. Think about the power of it. You do not deal with password. You don't remember the password. You just know your one identity. In fact, if you implement it right, your customers will not be using the term, oh, I forgot my password, or I need to reset my password, because there isn't any more passwords that they have to remember. It's all automatic, and the agent is managing it.
Well said, Neil. Yeah, thanks.
All right. More questions. Guys, there are two sides to a security product in general, but also to Tamiya. So there's technical side, and there you will, when you, as you get involved, you'll get variety of questions. We will ask you, what is the encryption level? How is this working? How is that working? What will happen if I'm disconnected? What will happen if the server is down? What will happen this? What will happen with that? There are so many ways of getting your answers. If you can't find the answer locally, the worldwide team will help you with all of those engaged questions. And all of those are very good questions. There is other side to it, which is pure sales thing. How do you identify that there is single sign-on which can save, which can help this customer? Single sign-on is not a product, not a market matured enough where the customer itself, themselves will ask for it. So, you know, somebody is buying SAP, somebody is buying an Oracle system for some application, somebody is implementing PeopleSoft. Whatever they are doing, the data is growing every day, and therefore the application is growing too. If the data is growing by, and somebody said, I think IBM itself advertises that the data is doubling itself every year. If data is doubling itself every year, it cannot be true that the application would remain the same, which means the application is also growing at an exceptional rate. If the application is growing at an exceptional rate, passwords are also growing at the exceptional rate. And your customer got to understand this. They have to have vision beyond 2011 and 2012. Think about 2015 and they don't fix the problem now. In 2015, it will become a nasty sore. They will have way too many passwords. IT team does not matter how many days and nights they keep awake. There will be one complaint, one report against them. Oh, the system is too slow. Oh, the system requires too much of work. Oh, the system just doesn't work. That is the kind of negativity they will be fighting against, and they won't be able to pinpoint whose problem it is. It is never their problem. It is neither the customer's problem, neither the end user's problem. The problem is the understanding of security and the world getting more complex. The world of IT is getting more complex, and the security and the compliance and everything will be forcing you to come up with more and more security. If you do not buy a tool like this, which is going to allow you to be convenient, tomorrow security will make life things miserable for your end users. So even if you are able to secure yourself, if you don't put in a tool like this in your deals, a lot of deployments will get messed up, including deployments like Epic, SAP, you know, all those middleware applications level, you know, it will get messed up with the pace that it is growing. So keep that in mind. As a seller, go look out for that opportunity. Don't wait for your customers to ask you that, hey, do you do single sign-on? Suggest single sign-on. Throw out the video out there. Give the try and buy to as many people as you can give, and engage the worldwide team as necessary. I can't hear you guys. One at a time, please. All right. I don't know if there was a question or not, but I'm always available via email or a phone call away if you have questions. And
Vaidik,
go ahead.
Neil, this is Vaidik. Can you hear me?
Hey, hi, Vaidik. Yes, I can hear you.
Hi. Yeah, Neil, I'm going to ask you a very fundamental, basic question. I just want to know how, what's IBM's answer to that? Because in most of the cases, you know, when you go to, you actually said a very right point. The customer does not ask for enterprise single sign-on. You know, you'll have to actually educate the customer for enterprise single sign-on. But there are certain people who also, for good reason, see that a single sign-on is also a single point of failure. Now, there are answers, you know, there are hajar answers which we can give for why we can do it, you know, what kind of authentication. So how, in IBM's TAM ESSO scenario, if the customer asks this question, how do we approach them from a sales angle?
Sure. You can take a story, and this is the story that I've been using. 65,000 people die of car accident in North America, and a much smaller portion of people die of car accidents in India. Does that mean that the traffic system is worse in U.S. than it is in India? No, it is a much advanced system. As we are going to a world which is more interconnected, advanced, you can't shy away by something, a solution, which will create a problem by itself. Yes, putting all the identity is a potential risk, but there is no alternative. You can't leave that to a human brain to figure it out, not at the pace we are growing. If you choose to step out of it, and stay at the level where you are and do not want to grow with the world at the pace that it is growing, you might be able to survive, but then you won't survive your competition. You won't survive the business at which it is growing.
Yeah. Neil, while that's a first-level answer, on the technical level, actually, how do we take care of that? Is the answer multi-level authentication?
On the technical side, you have to do two things. You have to protect what we have by proving that the system is very secure, and then you have to give a roadmap of making it more secure. So protection, there is a security white paper on TAM ESSO that I can send to you guys that typically helps you by showing that our system is actually very well protected. It's very strong, very secure, very encrypted. And from a vision perspective of, yes, if you're not happy with the base security, you have a vision of making it as much strong as you want. And there's the second factor, authentication, as you said, is a very good means to do that.
Neil, purely from the sales perspective,
mm-hmm.
Let's presume an environment wherein customer has application exposed to web. So they have web-based applications.
Yeah.
They also have legacy client-server and mainframe applications as well.
Right.
We go and suggest them single sign-on. How do you suggest in such an environment, do we go and suggest them ESSO or we talk about TAM plus ESSO combination? Presuming the fact that customer do not know larger level, he doesn't know the difference, and for him, single sign-on is more than enough. Maybe a domain login, single sign-on is absolutely okay with him.
That's a very good question. That's a very good, very smart question. I think where the confusion is, if you are new to this area, this will sort of haunt you. So let me take a holistic view to this and really explain the thing. There are four products in this space of identity. There is TIM, there is TAM EB, there is TFIM, and there is TAM ESSO. And all of them help with identity. There's single sign-on, there's this, there's that, but all of them help with identity. So let me do clarification at one at a time. what is identity? Identity is basically username, password. It can be username, password, and your ID, username, password with your mother name, whatever. It is basically, the problem is there are multiple identities. For the same person, there is multiple identity. I have a Gmail identity, I have a Yahoo identity, I have this, I have that. Who is creating the identity? Our creation of identity by itself is a big problem. Every user has 50 identity, let's imagine, or if every user has 10 identity, and you have a staff of 5,000, you're talking about 50,000 identities. Somebody needs to create this identity. Who is doing that? Tivoli Identity Manager. So write it down. The first product which helps you create or start the conversation about identity is TIM. It also helps you delete the identity. If the employee leaves the company, in one shot, you will be able to delete all the identity, which is very important because if you don't delete the identity, those identity can be used to hack into the systems and all that. So there is creation, sort of Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh view of the world, right? You have a creator, you have the destroyer. So you create the identity, you destroy the identity, and that is TIM for you. Then there is this maintenance layer, which is the thickest and the biggest layer. There are three kind of maintenance that you require. The number one kind of maintenance is, how do you allow people to deal with the identity, right? Dealing with the identity is basically remembering your username, password, typing those passwords. If you forget that password, dealing with those situations. If the password expires, dealing with those situations. If the password gets logged and jammed, dealing with those situations, all those situations. TAM ESSO will help you with those things across the board, not just for web, not just for this, not just for that. Across the board, independent of what system you are talking about, what infrastructure you're talking about, it will help you across the board for all your application, all your endpoints, maintenance of those identities. So that's TIM, and then there is TAM ESSO. Then comes TAM EB. What TAM EB does, it provides an exceptional solution for web-based, web-level identities. Again, it has all kinds of features. It does single sign-on, it does macro-level access management, it does this, that. Those are details. Let's not get bogged down by that. What it is an excellent tool if you have only web-level applications to deal with. And what is excellent here? Excellent is dealing with the numbers. If you have 5 million customers, let's say you have 5 million customers logging in into your system. Let's say you are Reliance. There's no way in hell that you can manage that using TAM ESSO because that would require 5 million agents to be deployed. Managing five million agents is just impossible task. And they will be on variety of this and all that. So for a situation where you grow in size, for a situation where the problem is web only because your customer is only going to log on to it or interact with you through web, TAM EB is an excellent solution. It has immense power. It can deal with single sign-on. It can deal with integrating the identities to one identity. It can deal with allowing limited access, more access, fine gates control. It does audit logs. It does variety of features. It has variety of features. But then you have to deal with, so the bottom line, and you have to deal with bigger set of identities only for one platform, which is web, TAM EB is an excellent solution and is the right solution. So now leaves the fourth and the final product, TFIM. So what is TFIM doing in all this mix? Looks like we have already solved all the problem there is with the identity. TFIM deals with federated identity. So what is the difference between a normal identity and a federated identity? My identity within all the applications within the IBM is IBM's identity or my identity. But I also have a 401k, and it probably does not work for India, but let me think of an example. Do you use net benefits in India for your healthcare?
You could take an example of HDFC with IBM site, wherein with a single domain, cross-domain authentication.
Okay, funny. Very good. So HDFC is another thing to do with IBM, but employee has to log into HDFC for their getting their salary and all that. Let's take that example. Now, there are so many ways to deal with this problem, right? And eventually I'll get to federation. But let's start with the first level. What if you said, okay, I'm outsourcing this work to SDFC Bank, so my employee should go to SDFC, click on the button, sign up, and create their own identities and deal with it. That is possible, but there are two problems with that. One, you are letting information about all your employees being transferred to SDFC Bank. You do not want that. It is too difficult to maintain that. When your employee leaves, you will have to call SDFC and delete that identity. When this happens, that happens, change happens, it will almost be so painful that you'll have to hire an entire desk for SDFC Bank, dealing with SDFC Bank login and passwords within IBM. So that's a very bad and sort of nobody does that kind of solution. The next level of solution one can say is, you know, I'm going to log in via a dummy portal. So you clicking on this button, it would look like you're logging in within the IBM, but you're actually logging to SDFC Bank. That is bad from security perspective because you know what will happen? You are being asked to give your IBM ID and maybe IBM password to SDFC Bank. What if administrator of SDFC Bank takes that username, takes that password, and hacks into your account in IBM? That's just very bad security. Nobody would do that. And there are people who have done that, but you know it's a very bad security. So the next level would be, okay, I'm going to use the IBM ID, but I'm not going to use IBM password. But there is no way to protect that. Your users would buy, just because it is convenient for them, they would type the same password that they use internally for SDFC Bank. So then you are going to SDFC Bank, sdfcbank.com, you're typing your IBM ID, and most likely you are typing your IBM ID. So even if you made a provision for those to be different, it did not help because your security is compromised. And still, you have so many new IDs to deal with, which creates a problem by itself, which means if you forget password, you'll have to have an entire help desk just for SDFC Bank. So the ideal solution is if you are verifying within the IBM and then through a channel, through a very proprietary, very secured channel, IBM was sending a message to SDFC Bank portal saying that allow this guy. That's all it was saying. It would not say this guy has this username or this guy has this password. It will say allow this guy whose name is Neil Kamau. And SDFC Bank will not challenge that because it is coming from a secured channel. that is sort of a hardened channel. It is not being hacked. It cannot be this. It is just a direct sort of a red phone or sort of a nuclear line between IBM and SDFC that goes through that secure channel. That's what Federation gives you. Federation gives you an ability to utilize your internal identity and share with an external entity without compromising with username and password. Okay? So now if you put all of that together, you are addressing all form of identity problem that a customer might have. They might start with creation of identity problem, which is TIM. They might go into maintenance of identity, which is TAM ESSO. They might go into this voluminous maintenance of identity for web application, which is TAM EB. And then they might go into this outsourced world of federation identity, which is TFIM. Or they might just buy all of that at the same time. I mean, it depends upon the situation and all that. All right, time for questions.
Neil, Ajay here. Is it good to talk about privileged user identity management? So I believe that it's done using ESSO.
Yeah, let's hold on to that idea. I will talk about it, but let's see if anybody has any other question. I want this TIM, TAM EB, TAM ESSO, and TFIM to be very clear for you guys. If anybody still has a confusion with that, please ask now. Okay, very good. Congratulations. Now you understand something that has been very challenging for a lot of people. So this is the world of identity. Now, I'll spend a minute on privilege part because it is not yet a full-blown product release. It is a services release. It's a services work that you'll have to engage. So the problem of privilege identity is, privilege identity is nothing but your administrator identity. I mean, it's an identity with more power, something like a super user, an administrator, whatnot, all kinds of identity which are more powerful. Why are those identities being called out or given a special name? Because they are dangerous. Yeah? You have an administrative ID, you can delete the entire hard disk. But if you have a normal user, you can't do that. You have an admin ID for a database, you can pretty much screw up the entire database. So, what is the challenge? The challenge is, with at the pace the data is growing, on the another tangential level, employees are becoming more wider. The same guy deals with a database admin problem who is dealing with the Oracle finance application problem or SAP or this or that. So, suppose you have a pool of employee acting as your IT resource, let's say 50 people for a big size company. Everybody deals with every system, which means everybody has account to an admin account to every application. If you do the math, that will become hundreds of thousands of admin accounts that will be created for your pool of employee. And as we are virtualizing, we are just creating more identities, because previously you had one identity for that server. But now you have identity for logging onto server, then there is machine inside, and there are all kinds of more and more powerful identities that you are creating. And that is a problem, obviously, because more you create, difficult it is going to be managed. The chances of forgetting one or two will be higher. And because it is privileged, it is powerful ID, everybody is scared about it. So how are we solving that? The way we are solving that at a very nutshell high level is, let's create a pool of identities, 100 privileged identity, and let's not give it to anybody. It's a very random username, a random password. When an administrator needs to work on database, he will go into a system and check out an ID and use that ID to work on it and then check it back, or it will automatically expire after, let's say, 2 hours. So it is like a, you know, if you remember in school, you would have that token. If you need to go to the bathroom, you need to take a token, and there will only be 3 tokens, which means you're pretty much ensuring that there cannot be more than 3 students outside in the balcony or outside in the school corridors at any point of time. So similarly, here, the idea is, if you only have 100 identities, it is easier to manage, and you can only have 100 identities to deal with. Questions? Guys, anyone still there?
Everybody has taken the token along with them.
I hope that is clear. So that's privileged identity management, and the solution within IBM is available through 2 products, TIM and TAMI SSO. You have to purchase both the products, and on top of it, you would require a services engagement. So let me give you a scenario. If you are trying to sell to a customer who has 200 privileged identity. So you will sell 200 licenses of TIM, you'll have sell 200 licenses of TAMI SSO, and you'll have to get this custom work done using Tivoli Lab services. Let's put a number to it. Let's say $50,000. So $50,000 is the cost of the services work on top of the license cost. And that's how the TIM deals are sold today. At the end of 2011, it will be available in 1 product form. So then this additional $50,000 will not be charged. Or with, sort of, you can save that if you were doing it in 2011. Okay? More questions? All right. Looks like we have talked for a while, and I think there is food for thought for enough for you right now. I hope this session has been fruitful. I'm always available to help. Please reach out as you deem necessary. there are variety and tons of material on each one of these areas, TAMI SSO as well as other products that I talked about. If you are having challenges in identifying where to start or what to read among the pool of resources that is available over the web, talk to me, same time me, and I'll help you identify where you can start with. All right. At the back of the deck, there is resource section where I have listed down some of these URLs. I hope those will be helpful to you. Thank you all for attending. You have a good night or day.
Thank you, and that does conclude today's conference, and parties may disconnect at this time.